Pastor Mike Fritcher and the Cottonwood family would like to welcome you to Living on Every Word.
Worship and sing a song of praise. Come into His house of joy sustained. Living on Every Word.
When you look at these two verses of Scripture, you find the kingdom principle of return, which means that whatever you give, it comes back to you. It will always come back to you, folks. Whatever you give out will always come back. And the question that we want to ask is, what are you giving and what are you giving to? What are you investing in and what are you investing to? And what do you see coming back from your life? It's the principle of return.
Living on every word.
Living on every word.
If you have your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 6. We're in Luke chapter 6, verse 30. We're on our fourth message on becoming faithful stewards, and I want to share with you a message on the kingdom principle of return. The kingdom principle of return. And in Luke chapter 6, verse 30, we see the Lord, actually this is the Sermon on the Mount, this is Luke's account of that, and he says in verse 30, give to everyone who asks. That's a present imperative. It's an imperative. They says, this is what it means. It says, you give and you keep on giving to everyone who asks of you. And whoever is taking away what is yours, don't demand it back. And just as you want people to treat you, treat, and that's another imperative, treat and keep on treating them in the same way. And if you love those who are loving you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are doing good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners in order to receive back the same. But you love your enemies, and you do good, and you keep on doing good, and you keep on lending, he says, expecting nothing in return. And your reward, in other words, he says, listen, you're expecting nothing in return, but you're going to have a great return. Your reward will be great, and you'll be sons of the Most High, for He Himself is kind to ungrateful and evil men. Let me ask, do you believe that He's kind to ungrateful and evil men? You better believe He's kind, or you wouldn't be sitting here today. You wouldn't know of the grace. You wouldn't know of the freedom. You wouldn't be able to understand some of the things that you've understood today if He wasn't kind to you, an evil and ungrateful person at one time in your life. But when Christ comes in, He changes all that. Amen? He changes all of that. So He Himself is kind to ungrateful and evil men. And when I see ungrateful and evil men, the Scripture says that I'm to do good, I'm to lend, I'm to expect nothing in return, and my reward will be great, and I will be called the Son of the Most High God. Verse 36, be merciful just as your Father is merciful, and do not judge. And this is another imperative. If you're judging, He says, you stop it and quit doing it and don't do it anymore, and you will not be judged. And do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. And pardon, and you will be pardoned. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, they're going to pour into your lap. For by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return. When you look at these two verses of Scripture, especially in verse 37 and verse 38, you find the kingdom principle of return, which means that whatever you give, it comes back to you. It will always come back to you, folks. Whatever you give out will always come back. And what we've been talking about is that this is a very great passage of Scripture, but it's also a very dangerous passage of Scripture, because the things that are good that goes out from you will come back, and I want to tell you, so will the things that are bad that comes out of your life comes back to you. We see this principle through Scripture. It's all over Scripture, the principle of return. Now, this first verse that I want us to look at is Ecclesiastes 11:1. It says, cast your bread on the surface of the waters, for you will find it after many days. You know, if you cast something out, he's saying it's going to come back. Every time I look at this passage of Scripture, I think of a time that I was about 4 or 5 years old on the banks of Lake Pontchartrain with my Uncle Jude and my cousins. My Uncle Jude's the character of the family, okay? And I can remember as a little boy, we were sitting on that lake shore, and he had this plastic jug of some sort. And he said, y'all watch this. Now, we were little bitty, okay? So he threw that thing out in the lake. He says, watch this. Come back, jug. Come back, jug. Well, that jug started coming back. But we looked at that thing and we said, how'd he do that? Well, of course, I didn't realize there was a wave, a small little wave, just kind of drifting it back to shore. But this is the principle is that when you cast it on the water, it comes back to you. It comes back to your soul. It comes back to your life. Whatever you speak out, whatever you give, whatever you do, the principle of return is that it will always come back to you. There will always be an increase. There are two illustrations that I want us to look at just right off. One of them is the illustration from nature, and one is the illustration from history of how we see things coming back to us. Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 10. Now, it's interesting because in Galatians chapter 5, he speaks of fruitfulness that comes off of people's lives. He talks of the fruit that comes from the flesh and the fruit that comes from the Spirit. And so he says in verse 7, don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. Now the one who sows to his own flesh shall from the flesh reap corruption. What does that corruption look like? When you live for the flesh, when you give to the flesh, when you give to yourself, when you're self-centered and not God-centered, as we've been talking about, you're going to see a certain kind of fruit that'll come out of your life. It's a fruit, the Scripture says, that's called corruption. You find the fruit in verse 19 of chapter 5. Just look at it real briefly. It says, the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, and factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you that those who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Scripture says, if you sow to the flesh, you will reap corruption. These are the things that will come forth from your life. This is the bread that people cast on the water, and it comes back, and when it comes back, and it comes out of their lives, they're so shocked and so surprised of their life and their lifestyle. But why wouldn't they be surprised? It's the principle of return. It always comes back. It always comes back. Now, the Scripture says also in verse 8, but the one who sows to the Spirit shall from the Spirit reap this eternal life. This eternal life is not for just when you die one day. This eternal life is a quality of life, a quality of spiritual life available to you today. When you cast your bread on the water, when you cast the seed to the Spirit of the living God, the Scripture says in verse 22 that this is what you'll reap. You'll reap love and you'll reap joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Whatever you give out is what you're planting in your life, and that's what's going to come up. And folks, it comes up a whole bunch more than what you planted. You plant a row of corn, and I want to tell you, you got enough corn to plant 150 rows, depending on how long that row is. It just keeps coming back. And the question that we want to ask is, what are you giving? What are you giving and what are you giving to? What are you investing in and what are you investing to? And what do you see coming back from your life? What do you see coming? There's another illustration. It's an illustration from history. Judges chapter 1, verse 5. Turn there. This is an obscure passage of Scripture. But the Israelites have gone into the promised land and they're settling the land. And the Scripture says in verse 5, they found Adonai Bezek and fought against him, and they defeated the Canaanites and the Perizzites. But Adonai Bezek fled, and they pursued him and caught him and cut off his thumbs and his big toes. Tough crowd. Tough crowd. You know what? It's the first time in history that you see this happening. I see this happening. Scripture. You don't see it again in the Bible. This is one time. Capture this king. They captured lots of kings. They cut off his thumbs and his toes. Now, why in the world would they do that? Well, notice the next verse. And Adonai Bezek said, 70 kings with their thumbs and their big toes cut off used to gather up scraps under my table. Watch this. As I have done, so God has repaid me. Wow. As I have done, so God has repaid me. Cast your bread on the water, and in many days it will return to you. Sow to the flesh, you'll reap corruption. Sow to the spirit, you'll reap life. This principle of return is a great principle if you're sowing good seed to the Spirit of the living God. But this principle is a sorrowful principle when people will continually walk after the flesh and plant the seeds of the flesh and do the things that are wicked and evil and that flow out of ungratefulness. Two illustrations, one from nature, one from history. And then you see it all through Scripture, this principle. For instance, in the area of forgiveness. The Scripture says, when I forgive, I receive forgiveness. Matthew 6:14, if you forgive men of their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Now what have I just done? I've cast my bread on the water. Someone has spoken evil of me. Someone has done something to me. Someone has sinned against me. And what do? I respond through forgiveness. What I've just done is I've cast the bread on the water. Scripture says that if I'll do that, in this passage of Scripture, that He will also forgive you. He will bring to you a freedom. But if you don't forgive men, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. I have an opportunity today to plant, to give out forgiveness to those around me, to those who've sinned against me. What are you giving out today? Are you giving out forgiveness or are you walking in unforgiveness? There's another interesting principle. It's found in Matthew chapter 19, verse 27. Go on and turn there for a moment. Peter spoke to the Lord Jesus Christ about the investment that they made. Matthew chapter 19, verse 27. Notice what he says. Peter answered and said, "Behold, we've left everything and we followed you. What then will there be for us?" And he said, "I say to you that you have followed me in the regeneration. When the Son of Man will sit on his glorious throne, you're going to sit among 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel." Now watch this. "And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or farms for my name's sake," what kind of investment have they made in the kingdom? They made an investment that they've left everything dear for the sake of the gospel. He says, "They shall receive many times as much and shall inherit eternal life." Many times as much in this life, folks. In this life. It's interesting. At 17 years old, I left home. Now, that's not a new thing. But I left home to serve God. 17 years old, went to Houston, Texas, drove down Interstate 10, cried to Lafayette, Louisiana. And it was a really hard day for me because I knew that when my face was heading west to Houston, that I will never, ever be back to New Orleans to live near my family. I knew that. Now, I dreamed and thought that we might go back, but at that point, I knew I wouldn't. And I would go to serve Him. And so at 17 years old, heading to college, heading to a staff on church, I forsook, in a sense, I left my father and my mother. I left an opportunity to work with my dad. I left an opportunity to be a part of the family business. I left those things. I can tell you, I've left my brother. I've left my sister. I've left my mother. I've left my father. But I look out and I see dads and moms. I see brothers and sisters. I see an abundance. I see many times more. Many times more than I would ever have imagined, folks. Ever have imagined. This Scripture is true. When you make an investment in the eternal things of this life, you get much more in this life and in the life to come. Folks, listen to me. Make the investment. If you're investing in the world and in the flesh, stop it today. Stop it today because there's a return on that investment that you will reap. And it will reap sorrow. It will reap sorrow after sorrow. Not one time have I regretted that drive from New Orleans to Houston. Not one time. Not one time have I ever grieved over that in the sense that I've lost something. I have gained so much more. And in the midst of that, have gained a precious and more deep relationship with my dad and my mom than I could ever, ever imagine. And my brother and my sister at that. It's the investment we make and the principle of return. Folks, there's another principle. When I shut my ear to the cry of the poor, then I too will not be heard when I myself cry out. Proverbs 21:13, "He who shuts his ear to the cry of the poor will also cry himself and will not be answered." Will not be answered. Cast your bread on the water and it's going to come back to you not many days from now. When I am merciless, the Scripture says, I receive no mercy. And when I'm merciful, I receive the mercy of God. James 2:13, judgment will be merciless to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Philippians 4:4 speaks of when I supply the needs of others, God will richly supply all of my needs. Turn to Philippians chapter 4 if you would. Philippians chapter 4. Notice what he says in verse 10. God has provided for Paul from the church of Philippi. And they have sent him an offering and they have supported him. And notice what he says in verse 10. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last you have revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned before, but you lacked opportunity. You had nothing to give. You were concerned for me, but you lacked the opportunity. Not that I speak from want, because I've learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means, and I know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I've learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Nevertheless, you have done well to share with me in my affliction. And you yourselves also know, Philippians, that at the first preaching of the gospel after I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, but you alone. For even in Thessalonica, you sent a gift more than once for my needs. Even in Thessalonica, ministering to the Thessalonians, I didn't receive anything from them. You sent the gift. You sent what I needed. Now watch verse 17. And this is key. Not that I seek the gift itself. Not seeking the gift, not seeking money, not seeking your support, not asking for your support, not asking for it. But I'm not seeking that itself. Watch this. But I'm seeking for the profit which increases to your account. When you give, there's a return. And that's what I'm seeking. So I'll say, yeah, give your money. If God calls, give it to me. I'll receive it because I don't want to rob you of the profit that's going to come your way. Folks, never, ever refuse a gift from a brother. Never. Don't act like you can't receive it and that you don't want to. Folks, He's the one being blessed, the Scripture says, when He gives. You're the one being blessed when you give. And that's exactly what he says. Listen, I'm not seeking the gift for myself. I don't care about that. What I care about, I'm seeking the profit which increases to your account. And I've received everything in full and have an abundance and I'm amply supplied, having received from Epaphroditus, which you have sent. And it's a fragrant aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And you know what he says? And now, my God, it's going to supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Now to our God and Father be glory forever. And ever. Amen. The profit, the increase comes when you have a giving lifestyle and when you give. And when people receive, yes, they're blessed. But how many of us can really know this? And we know this, that when we give, we are blessed. We're blessed. Folks, becoming a good steward is a great and mighty thing. If you're a good steward of the things that God has given to you, you will be absolutely, totally blessed. And you won't seek the gift. You won't seek the money. You won't seek the resources. You won't have to seek those things. Why? Why? Because my God will supply all your needs in Christ Jesus. You'll have everything that you need. And matter of fact, you will have an abundance of it, as we're going to see in just a moment. When you look at Luke chapter 6, verse 37 and 38... from that passage, we read, when I judge and condemn, I'll be judged and condemned. When I pardon, I'm pardoned. And then we see that when I honor the Lord through a giving lifestyle, He will honor me. When He says, give and it shall be given to you, pressed down, you know what that means? That means that, you know, you take something, this carton, and you get it, and you get to press it down. And it gets some more, and you press it down. And you keep pressing down. And it keeps pressing down. You get more and more and more and more. Pressed down. Shaken together, it's overflowing, and it says it's going to fall right into your lap. What does that mean? It's going to fall in your lap. It means you're sitting down, doesn't it? It means you're sitting down. How can something fall in my lap when I'm standing up? I mean, God is going to give. The Bible says He gives to His beloved even in His sleep. Even in His sleep, He gives to us. And this is the promise of the return, that when I honor God and I give, it will come back to me. I'll cast that bread on the water and it will come back to me after many days. Proverbs 3:9 says, honor the Lord from your wealth, from the first of all your produce, so your barns will be filled with plenty. Your vats will overflow with new wine. Deuteronomy 15:10, you shall generously give to Him, and your heart shall not be grieved when you give to Him, because of the thing the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and all your undertakings. Proverbs 19:17, he who is gracious to a poor man is lending to the Lord, and He will repay him for his good deed. There is a return on the investment that you make in your giving. So the question that we want to ask this morning is, how do we give? How do we give to our God? How do we give to Him of our resources? And we talked to Malachi chapter 3 last week. Go on and turn there for just a moment. It's easy to find. Last book in the Old Testament. Third chapter. He says in verse 10, you bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, so that there may be food in my house. And test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. Now here's the return. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven, and I'm going to pour out for you a blessing until it overflows. I'm going to rebuke the devourer for you, so that it may not destroy the fruits of the ground. Nor will your vine in the field cast its grapes, and all the nations will call you blessed, for you shall be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. Here you have another scripture on the same principle, that what I give comes back, and it comes back even more. Question, will I believe that today? Will I walk in a faith and ask God, how do I give? When you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, you look at the context of this passage of Scripture, and you find that Paul is taking an offering for the saints in Jerusalem. And he's given them some specific instructions. And the instruction is, listen, when I come, I don't want to take offerings. I don't want to pass the plate when I come. So this is what I'm going to do. Don't know when I'm coming, but I'm coming. And when I come, I want you to be ready to give what you've already given. So what I want you to do is set aside what God has purposed in your heart to give on the first day of the week, and I want you to bring it in. And I want you to hold it until I get here, so I can take this offering to the saints in Jerusalem, the saints in need. And so then he goes into verse 6, and he says, now this is how you give. Watch, verse 6. Now I say, he who sows sparingly shall also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully shall also reap bountifully. Here's the thought. I'm to give, and I'm to give bountifully. I'm to include my time, my talent, my money. Not just my money. It's about a giving lifestyle, a God-centered lifestyle, not a self-centered lifestyle. And the Scripture says, give bountifully. Give a bunch, he says. Because if you give a bunch, he says, what's going to happen is you're going to reap in abundance. You're going to reap. If you just cast 5 kernels of corn on the ground, do you think you're going to have enough? No, you've just sowed sparingly. And you'll reap sparingly. I'm telling you, the principle is here. And we must live by that principle. We must live by that principle. That when we give, and we give bountifully, we will reap bountifully. And you know, you look at 2 Corinthians 8, 1 through 8, and there's a great illustration about the Macedonian churches. And there's 4 things that Paul did. And we'll go through it real briefly here. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. He says, now, brethren, verse 1, I wish to make known to you the grace of God which has been given in the churches of Macedonia, that in a great ordeal of affliction, their abundance of joy and their deep poverty, watch this, overflowed in the wealth of their liberality. He says, you gave with all liberality, this wealth of their liberality. And these folks are poor. Scripture says that in their affliction and deep poverty, they gave. They gave out of their affliction and their deep poverty. And Scripture goes on and he says it overflowed in the wealth of their liberality. I testify that according to their ability, verse 3, and beyond their ability, they gave of their own accord. And watch this, verse 4, they begged us with much entreaty for the favor of participation in the support of the saints. They begged us, please let us give to this need. Please let us give to God. Please give us the opportunity to drain our pocketbooks, to empty our purses, to say, we want to be a part of this greater body, this greater church. We want to be a part of the kingdom of God in our giving. And the Scripture says they begged them. They begged them to be a part. And he says, and this, not as we had expected, but they first, and here it is, they first gave of themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God. Consequently, we urge Titus that as he had previously made a beginning, so he would also complete in you this gracious work as well. In other words, he went to Macedonia. Now he's coming to you. He's going to take this offering up, and we want it to be this gracious work working in you. But just as you abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and all earnestness and all love, we inspired in you. See that you abound in this gracious work also. I'm not speaking this as a command, but as proving through the earnestness of others the sincerity of your love also. In other words, it says, folks, I'm telling people that you love. And if you love, this is what's going to come out of your life. The proof of your love, he says. For you know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for yourself he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. We are to give bountifully. The second principle is that we give purposefully. And we do this to meet the need. Acts 4, you don't need to turn here, but Acts 4:34. People are in Jerusalem and they're in need. They've come to Pentecost, they're staying, they're not going home. And so what these folks are doing, they're selling their land and they're taking the proceeds and they're laying at the apostles' feet to meet the needs of the saints. Then 1 John 3:16, we talked about this just a minute last week. 1 John 3:16 through 18, he says, you demonstrate love by your giving. So the purposeful giving, as God has purposed in our hearts, as God has spoken to our hearts, we do this to meet the need and demonstrate love. And then in 1 Peter 4:9, we give to glorify God. And then he says, not under compulsion. In other words, not under some burden, not under some taskmaster, not under some deal that says, you got to do this. Not under compulsion, but he says you're to give it freely. And then not grudgingly. In other words, you give it and you don't regret it. You don't grieve over it. And if you do it grudgingly, that's what you'll do. You'll regret and grieve. He says, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't give like that. But with a sacrificial giving of a free will offering. If I give that, don't you know that you will give that cheerfully? Brother Bob said it this way, Lord, let us give with hilarity. And that's the Greek word, cheerful. It's we get the word hilarious, hilarious givers. We folks, when we give like that, do you know what you'll do? You'll give cheerfully with hilarity. Why will that be? Because you'll not only do that, you'll give cheerfully because you'll give with an expectation of a return. There'll be a return on this. And you say, well, wait a minute, that sounds like that's pretty selfish motive. But I want to tell you, you look at all the benefits you have when you see the principle of return when you give. I mean, God said it in Malachi, give and I'm going to let it overflow to you. But why? Why do I expect not to spend it on Mike Fritcher's pleasures? It's so that I could give even more. Notice what he says in this final verse. He says in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8, God is able to make all grace abound to you, that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. As it's written, he scattered abroad, he gave to the poor, his righteousness abides forever, and he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food is going to supply, and here it is, he's going to multiply your seed for sowing, and he's going to increase the harvest of your righteousness, and will be enriched in everything with all liberality, which through us is producing thanksgiving to God. For this ministry of this service is not only fully supplying the needs of the saints, but it is overflowing through many thanksgivings to God. Why? Because of the proof given by this ministry. They will glorify God for your obedience, to your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for the liberality of your contribution to them and to all, while they also by prayer on your behalf yearn for you because of their surpassing grace of God in you. Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. When he says this, when I get this return, what is it for? It's more seed to throw it out. It is more seed to give it away. And I want to ask you, folks, how are you giving today? How are you pouring it out today? I want you to bow with me in prayer. Would you do that?
Cottonwood is located 3 miles east of Dublin on Highway 6. For more information on the ministries of Cottonwood or to obtain a copy of today's message, please call us at 254-445-2929 or you can visit us on the web at www.cottonwoodtx.com.